The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
He's able to just leave the set sometimes and go out and like buy burgers for everybody and then come back and like, here's the burgers and everything.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you shot those scenes already? Great. You know, and
welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Fowlypod.
Of Artemis Fowl.
Yeah.
A movie that you can find on Disney+. It was supposed to have a theatrical release, what, May? June?
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know when the initial one was. I think it was supposed to come out at May last that they announced.
So this is a book that I guess everybody likes, Artemis Fowl.
Yeah, I mean it's a series of books. It's a young adult novels, and I mean maybe even more like you would say more like middle school books. I've read a few of them with my daughter, and I mean they're pretty popular, I would say. Disney definitely was banking on the IP,
And that's all they were banking on too, because yes. This movie is terrible. This is where Disney sort of just gets in their own way a lot of times. And the reason why we know that Disney is behind this movie more than any other creative force, Kenneth Branagh directed this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw one thing in this movie that particularly stood out as particularly Kenneth Branagh.
No.
It feels like Disney's chairman of the board directed this movie. Because everything is very Disney-fied, man. It's every little thing that you look at has to have some sort of like, this would fit in our theme park somewhere. And that's how we're going to do our characters and how we're going to do our special effects and how everything looks. So that it'll fit neatly on Disney Plus alongside all the other stuff that looks like it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. No. And I think this was the right move on their part. Pretty much a no brainer to put this, on their streaming service, because this movie would have tanked. Hard. I didn't even look at the budget or anything for it. I think it's probably like a middle tier one for them, but, I don't usually care too much about adaptations as far as like, you don't have to like do everything the book says. You don't have to be exactly like the book. I don't give a shit. You can change some stuff, but yeah. I do find it odd when, like, for instance, one of the things in the books, and they're kids' books, so they're not like super dark, mm-hmm. but like Artemis Fowl, the kid, he's a villain. Like, I mean, he is a full on villain in the books. And like, basically the books are about him trying to become, a criminal mastermind. Mm-hmm. This movie obviously does not paint him that way. And he's even like he ends up becoming like quickly friends with characters that he's like mortal enemies with in the book. It's like decisions like that I find very odd, because people that haven't read the book probably aren't going to care, but why would you go? I mean, if it's a book series that works, that's selling well, I don't know why you wouldn't at least make the characters similar. Like, you know, like I stuff like that always boggles my mind, why you would change it that much. And basically from what I could tell, they kind of merged the first two books into one. Don't understand that either. And there's barely even a story here, even though they took from two books.
Yeah.
This movie, I mean, it goes by very, it's very short, and like it feels like it's just about to get going once it ends.
Yeah.
There's a set piece where there's where I thought this was just going to be a set piece and then it was going to go on to something else. And that ends up being the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
it's in mm-hmm. this one location. And
yeah.
It's like, what is going on?
Yeah,
this is barely a movie.
The whole movie pretty much takes place at this mansion. That's
yeah,
pretty
at
much
his, at, yeah, at his house.
It's like, you know, it's a, I guess it's a way more extravagant Home Alone almost.
Where if Home Alone kidnapped fairies.
Right. Right. I'll tell you, I haven't read the books. I did not know he was supposed mm-hmm. to be the villain. And I wish now that I've heard that he was, mm-hmm. Especially since that's what it seems like, you know, his dad steals, mm-hmm. Steals things from museums and crap like that. Even though he does this one good thing, he does, right? He steals artifacts from.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, that's definitely what he's doing.
They make it seem like he's such a good guy because he helped this one fairy out one time, and you know, sort of gloss over the fact that he went and stole all these like priceless artifacts from museums. but the thing about this movie that's immediately just a turn off is that, like, I've seen this setup so mm-hmm. often. The kid has a father who's always going out and like trying to find things and then gets lost. And that's in Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. That's in Tomb Raider. That's in Frozen. There's a lot of these little setups that mm-hmm. I'm just like, I've seen that setup. I've seen it a million times.
This was set up. This was straight up Tomb Raider without the tombs and the raiding. Like, I mean, but it's like if Tomb Raider ended, when she, right before she left her mansion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I mean, you're not lying. It's exactly right. I had to rewind this movie a couple of times too, because I wasn't quite sure what the fuck was going on. But a character like Mulch Diggum seems like it should be a lot funner. I do like Josh Gad
mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. I think he's the best part of this movie probably.
Yeah, his vocal choice was interesting.
Yeah,
he kind of did like a Batman thing. I didn't really get, but it was fine.
But you know what? So does Judi Dench. Judi Dench.
That's even weirder. That almost felt like they did something to her audio.
Yeah, I think they did.
I don't
know
if they did, but.
But that was a bad choice considering you already had a character that talked like that in the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
There's moments where you're hearing him and her for a pretty long period of time. And it's like, why is everybody doing a thing here? Why does everybody have to be doing a thing?
But nothing, I can't think of one thing that works in this movie. Like maybe Josh Gad, maybe. I don't even think that's enough.
No, he doesn't really. I mean, he's good at doing what he does. I mean, I think there are a couple of moments, some character moments that come off pretty good. That character doesn't work very well.
The effect with his mouth is actually kind of creepy. Like when they do, when he's a tunneler and he eats all the dirt and stuff. Like that was actually kind of interesting, but like that's, I'm pulling.
Yeah. Yeah. You really have to mine for things that are good in this movie.
Exactly.
You really have to do a lot of like, you know, so, go.
Oh, I was going to say, and I mean, I do not like judging, like it's hard to judge child actors, but, Ferdia Shaw plays Artemis Fowl. I've never seen him in anything before this to the best of my knowledge.
It looks like it's his feature debut.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I didn't catch that, but, and a lot of it has to do with the script, I think, but like, there's nothing about him that really stands out.
Yeah.
He's not like, I'm not sitting there like, yeah, he's a hero. Right. I'm going to follow for movies.
I think that's my main real big issue with this movie mm-hmm. is that they don't really develop him enough leading in. They just like casually mention school's not for him. He beat a chess champion when he was seven. You know, he did a couple of things that were cool. And then they go right into the whole thing where he's he hates his dad, Colin Farrell, because he's always leaving. There's nothing about what you just did that makes me go, boy, I'm going to follow this guy into a movie.
Yeah. I had forgotten for a second that Colin Farrell was in this movie, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. It's easy to do. But we don't have any real character development with him. And then he's suddenly thrust into the action because, Lauren McDonald, who plays Holly Short, is a fairy who is trying to, clear her dad's name because her dad's a traitor and everything. And we don't really see anything, until she gets involved in the action. We don't really see anything about this character, Artemis Fowl, that makes us go, I really am rooting for this guy. I want him to find what he's trying to find and everything. Before we even get to that point, he's thrust into some action he didn't ask for.
Yeah, this is an F, man. I mean, I can't give it anything. I can't give it anything higher than that. I'm sorry. Like, it barely functions as a movie. It a weird comparison, but The Turning was something that popped into my head.
Because
these are just like, it doesn't really feel like it has, I don't know, it just barely functions as a movie for me. So like, to me, and like, I can't think of anything that works. So, I mean, to me, that's an F.
I'm going to stick to my guns about that. I think in spirit, I'm giving this an F, but I'm going to give this a D because I still think that F is reserved for a movie that just is atrocious on a different level. And like, this one is definitely bad. I think it goes along the more forgettable route than it, than anything, but yeah, it's not good.
I agree with you. It's forgettable. Like, it's not offensive or anything. Like, I've seen some people like on Twitter and social media, like talking about just how offensive it is. Like, it's not offensive. Like in fact, it didn't feel long or anything. It wasn't, I mean, it felt really quick. In fact, like you, I had to rewind a few times because I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Because it feels like this movie's winding down and I don't feel like anything has happened. It's absolutely nuts. But I don't really know what to talk about other than stuff that we probably need to talk about in spoilers.
So. Yeah, we'll go into spoilers. There's not much to talk about. I mean, and we've kind of glossed over the plot of this movie, but let's go ahead and go to spoilers on this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And that's basically his Kaiser subject.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
Yeah, there's not much that we haven't. I mean, we know that Colin Farrell goes to find something, and we don't know. And then he disappears. Like the Artemis Fowl sees this on the news. He sees his ship. Was it shipwrecked or did it?
I can't remember.
He sees what happens. His dad is missing after the ship was found and he's not on it.
He didn't know what his dad did. Right. At this point,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And the news is saying that he's stolen all this shit and he's wanted for that.
And there's a Hobbs and Shaw voiced character. It's like, or we just see that we just hear the voice. Or I guess we do see the person that's kidnapped.
Oh, you mean there's like it's almost like a druid or something like that.
Yeah, like, they're like hiding the identity. Like it feels like purposefully they're hiding the identity. And you just hear like this kind of computerized voice almost coming from it.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess they never reveal who that is, do they?
Nope. No, you get to find that out. And then that sequel, I'm sure it's coming.
The sequel's definitely coming. But like they had this, it's almost like they didn't know who they were going to cast for this. So they just kept it a secret. And it looked like it was going to be a big reveal, but they don't even, I don't think they even knew who they were going to.
Yeah, don't get like the, what was that movie where you get the like the Ed Norton reveal? Oh, was that Alita: Battle Angel? Or like it's Ed Norton at the end of the movie.
Yeah. But whoever this is, I can't remember the name they gave that character. He or she wants to take over the world. This is another thing. I'm so tired of taking over the world. And
how is
like,
that even feasible? Like, who would want to do that?
I know, taking over the world. Not only taking over the world, but like, it's that same sort of like it's that Magneto philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. Where like we're magical creatures and humans are below us. Why are we the ones hiding and all that? And like, okay, all right. So you want world domination? Got it. And the only way that they can get it is by getting this artifact of some sort. And they said that artifact's name probably 500 times, but I don't remember it right now. I don't remember the name of that artifact they were looking for, but the fairies have lost it.
It's the Aculos.
The Aculos. That's right. Colin Farrell has, been entrusted with the Aculos, by the one chick, the Holly Short's, dad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they originally set up a meet with him and the fairy. Don't know how that happened, but apparently Colin Farrell was able to figure out that a fairy would show up on the little island or whatever the hell he lives on, and he was able to meet that person and trust. They started to form a bond, and the guy was like, "I need to give you the Aculos because there's a lot of bad people down in the underworld who want it and want to use it for themselves and." Shit like that. Judy Dench has like this this one guy who keeps running around and is always antagonizing her for her decisions.
Yeah, that was needed.
It was very much needed. And he's always like he's one of those guys that like he doesn't have any real power, but he has some sort of authority from some other higher. I don't know how that even works. No, I was like, who is he? Other than the person in the hood, who is he answering to?
He's like the fairy version of the guy that's got the board's ear. Like whenever like the high up person, like the CEO or whatever is being a problematic or doing things, and you've got the guy that's got the board's ear and is trying to turn the vote.
That's the thing. We just don't see a board. We don't see any other. The only person he like reports to. Is the person with the weird messed up voice?
And
I'm like the person with the weird messed up voice is no person of authority. Yeah. So why does he keep going around saying you better watch out and all this?
Yeah, we'll just call him Voldemort Jr.
He kind of is
because they do this movie is very it's also very Harry Potter.
It's Men in Black.
Oh God, yeah.
Let's just say what it is. It's fucking Men in Black. These fairies, what they're doing is they're making sure that there's no other fairies or any magical creatures that can be found by people on the surface, and their whole job is to go and stop time so that they can go in like basically flashy thing neuralize all the people who have seen the magical creatures. And then they come back. It's Men in Black. And was there anything like that in the book of Artemis?
Yeah. I mean the general idea that like nobody knows about all these worlds and stuff. And like there is, it's different how he finds out about it. Like it's not like, cause that's my favorite thing about this movie is that, the most ridiculous thing is that his dad has told him all these stories growing up and has given him all this information. Like, if you ever meet a fairy, this is what you need to do to stop it. Blah, blah, blah. And then at some point told him it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And so, I think that factors into why he hates his dad too, I think. Cause like his dad lied to him for years or whatever. And then in this one moment where he gets to like, I don't remember how he talks to his dad or his dad somehow gets in touch with him. But I just remember Colin Farrell just before he gets off, whatever the thing is, he says, it's all true. Immediately he pulls like Harrison Ford in that Force Awakens. It's all true. Yeah. It's all real.
Right.
And then immediately Artemis Fowl is a badass. Like He remembers everything he was told. So he knows, like, he comes up with all these plans about kidnapping this one fairy and then using her as negotiations with the other fairies. And
right. Like I said, that's just a thing insane. Where they've crammed too much into this one movie.
Absolutely.
It's an hour and a half. With Dark Tower, right? Where they tried to cram seven
that's book a good comparison
into one thing. And this is two books in an hour and a half movie. There's something, I don't know what it is, when a movie like this gets made where they just decide, we don't need to do the things that we do with other good movies when we make this. You get Kenneth Branagh directing the movie. It seems like there would be somebody, like, there had to have been some other, there's got to be some other issue, some other factor that we can't figure out that makes a movie like this.
Even his, like, worst stuff where he's kind of gotten himself put into a franchise, like something like Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Like, that's not a good movie, but, like, it's a movie. Like, right. I mean, there's a beginning, middle, and end. You can see what they were trying to do. It just didn't work.
Right.
You know, it's like a C or C minus or whatever, but here it's, I wonder if this was just like, if he just gave up and it was taken away. I don't know what happened. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Or like Thor's not very good, but Thor is definitely, you know, miles ahead of this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done a few of these, over the years, and I'm pretty sure it's, you know, he's kind of doing the one for them, one for me type of thing. But the only one for me that I can think that he's done is Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot of those for himself. He could be at a point where he's like, I just would like to have a lot of money and be able to share that with my kids or something. I mean, he could be at that point. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that I don't get a person with that much talent making a movie like this.
I don't either. I feel like he was like, there was some movie that John Carpenter randomly made like in 2011. It's terrible. It's called The Ward. And I read some people that were working on the set said Carpenter was basically just sitting off to the side playing video games and was just like, yeah, whatever you guys want to do today. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like that's what Kenneth Branagh was doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't it feel like, there was a thing Kevin Smith was talking about in one of his shows that he goes around for lack of a better word, one of his stand-up shows, where he was talking about being a director on Supergirl, and talking about how, you know, when you go in, when you're hired for a job like that, you know, everybody kind of just knows what they're supposed to do. Everything's already been storyboarded. Everything's like ready to, maybe not storyboarded, but like everything is just sort of like, they know what they're supposed to do. The crew knows that they need to do this and that and just make the episode. And so he jokes about how he's able to just leave the set sometimes and go out and like buy burgers for everybody and then come back and like, here's the burgers and everything.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you shot those scenes already. Great. You know, and it's the way it feels like for a lot of Disney movies now, like even the MCU and everything like that, everybody kind of knows what they're supposed to do at this point and they just go and do it. And then a movie like Artemis Fowl, which again, I don't know how in the hell a movie like this gets made with the talent involved, but it feels like that's exactly what it is. It's like someone at Disney says, I need this and this and this and this in the movie. And if all of that's in the movie, mission accomplished.
Yeah. It feels like that John Peters thing, right? Like I want a spider.
Yeah. I want a giant spider.
And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the characters in this movie are from the book and, you know, like, I mean, they get the character names, but like none of them feel like the actual characters, like remotely and just how, but, and it's weird. Cause it's like, you've got like stories already written. Like that's the thing that always kills me with some of these. You know, you go back and watch, like, I mean, they've done a lot of these where they've, you know, tried to adapt these series and they just, you know, fell on their asses.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, it's just crazy. It's like, you've got like multiple books to choose from and multiple stories to choose from. And you kind of just do a weird concoction on your own and it makes no sense.
Yeah. You print money. You have, you have a dominance over the film market, and the idea that you can't just make whatever great movie you want to and have the time to do it is absurd to me. I again, all this stuff that we have brought up about this movie makes me wonder what was the X factor that made it turn into this? Was it Disney had an idea of what this movie was going to be and too many people got in on it and they screwed it up? Was Kenneth Branagh like, you know, he didn't like the changes that were made. So he just made whatever bullshit that they had on the script and didn't worry about it. You know, there are a number of things that could contribute to this. Somebody who was creatively disgruntled in some way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine this is the movie that they envisioned when they first said, let's do Artemis Fowl.
No, it can't be. You feel like Branagh was like, I was going to say, he's probably just on set, like prepping Death on the Nile.
Yeah. You might not be far off. You might not be far off on that. And not only prepping Death on the Nile, but like, you know, like he's going to come up with his, he's already coming up with his, like, I don't know, name another Hercule Poirot adventure. He's probably already, doing another one of those. He's got the screenplay going.
Yeah. He's working on the Five Little Pigs screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's not even like one of those like interesting like failures, like something like David Lynch's Dune. You know, it's not even that, like where you can watch that and you can see, okay, I see where this kind of went off the rails. Like I can see what was going on here. But like it's like somebody tried to do a paint by numbers drawing and completely fucked it up.
Yeah, they drew outside the lines and they.
Yeah, it's hard to explain how bad this movie is. Like it goes beyond just being like, like you said, it is very forgettable. That's maybe its biggest flaw, but like, it's so barely even a movie that always just shocks me.
Yeah. As soon as, Holly shows up to, try to find the Aculos and everything, the whole movie is there at that mansion the rest of the time, and the fairies come by and they want to do their thing. Of course, Artemis Fowl already has an answer for everything that happens in this movie.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about, and by the end of it, that's where they still are. They're at that mansion. Oh. There's like one little thing at the end where, cause they do the framing device where, Josh Gad's character is caught at the beginning and he's the one telling this story. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know how he knows all the things, all the details of the story, but he somehow does. And then by the end of it, he proves to these people who have captured him and put him on some weird, like fucking ocean prison thing. He proves to them that magic and fairies are real by the end of it, which, I mean, I don't know why you do that, especially if you're going to have if someone's going to come by and break you out of prison and everything. Why would you spill the beans like that? Like that's a story you tell when you're trying to get out of, like you're trying to prove your innocence. And instead he just gets broken out of prison after he gives the whole thing away.
Why does Artemis Fowl break him out of prison? Like, why are they friends? Yeah. Like, what happened to where? Because he like breaks into his mansion, and then it's like he tries to rescue. What was her name again?
Holly.
Holly Goodlightly. What's her name?
Holly Short.
Holly Short. He tries to rescue Holly Short. That doesn't work out, and then he just kind of stays there. Like he's just like okay, and then he just stays in the mansion, and then I guess they become friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Just none of it makes any sense. It's none. So weird.
I feel like there is a good movie somewhere that they could have made.
No, out of this. And the books are fun. I mean, you know, they're kids' books. I mean, you know, and I'm 44, but I mean, they're fun. Like they're Stephen King, I know, has talked about them. Like he's praised them in the past. You know, they're well regarded. And like I said, we read like three of them, I think, the first three, and they were a lot of fun to read. But there's definitely, you could make a good movie out of it. When I first heard they were making the movie, I was like, oh, that sounds like that could be fun.
Yeah.
And then once it started getting moved around the schedule and then Disney Plus, I was like, well, it's probably not good. But
And finally, there is here's another thing about this movie, and I don't mean to like keep talking about a movie.
No, you're fine.
So much, and I do kind of want to wrap this up, but
yeah,
there is another character in this movie, Juliet, played by Tamra Smart. She's a character that gets introduced as one of Artemis's friends, and basically just gets lost in the movie. Never does really much of anything after she's introduced, except
randomly pops back up.
She has a little quirky scene with Holly when she's being when she's in the prison.
Yeah,
but this is another thing this movie does that's really bad, and I think it put it on a different kind of a level. I'm surprised. Like I said, this movie's forgettable, so I'm just now remembering that. There are many moments in this, and I know that Mulch Diggums is telling the story and everything, but there are multiple moments in this where he introduces a character like he's like that character is going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
And then they turn out to be nothing. They're talking about how like there's one point where they're talking about how reading the fairy language is difficult because it's encrypted. And he's like, that's because it was encrypted by this guy. And they go to the underground and there's this guy who's like an underling to Judi Dench who is apparently their computer guy. I guess their IT guy. I don't know. And and they introduce that character. And I was like, so is this guy's going to be a big deal by the end of this movie, right? Like, introduced him like he's a big deal. No, he's not. He's not a big deal. Not even the encryption itself is a big deal.
Yeah.
And you know that it gives you the illusion that he's telling this great story with these characters, these awesome characters and everything, and then like doesn't pay off when those characters just end up not doing anything by the time it's over, and you're like, why'd you go through that big long introduction if they weren't going to be anything anyway?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The whole you think it's about the dad, but it's about the kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how he sounds in that too. You think it's about the dad, but it's about the kid.
And he loses that inflection a few times. He just sounds like Josh Gad.
He does. That's right. He does. I remember.
Oddly enough, it's when he's talking to Judi Dench. So I'm not sure if he just starts sounding like Josh Gad or she just out Batman somehow. I have no idea.
Could be, but no, you're right. There is a couple of moments where I noticed that the Josh Gad came out of him.
It's like Mel Gibson's Australian accent popping up for a second.
Right. Okay, guys. Is there anything else you want to talk about on this movie?
No, okay. I'm good.
Guys, what did you think about the... Have you seen this movie? If you have, comment on Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. SoundCloud and Discord, and if you want to get on Discord, you can go to our Reddit page and find the link on the right side of the page, or you can go to Facebook and private message me and I will give you a link there. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
You can find me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. You can hear me almost every week on Behind the Sins with Danae Hughes and Aaron Dicer.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.